Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
MLB Odyssey.com app with you for about another 27 minutes. We'll take you up until 4:30 today, 404-741-0929. You can get me on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. We'll hit on NBA Game 5 of the Finals coming up in about 20 minutes. Also, WWE returning to live crowds. Touch on that as well. Five Stripes pre-match coverage in just about 27 minutes. But the biggest story, probably in all of sports over the last 24 to 48 hours, has been from the world of golf. And it really had nothing to do with the Open itself and the great golf that's going on over in England, but it had to do with Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. But most notably, Bryson DeChambeau. Now, I get it. Not everybody is into golf. It's a niche sport, no question. I'm a hardcore golf guy. So when I saw this develop, because I was actually watching it live, I couldn't believe what I saw. And like when I was in high school and college, I would watch Tiger Woods. That was the extent of golf for me. But over the last 9 or 10 years, like I have become obsessed with golf. I watch the PGA Tour like every week. I play fantasy golf. I bet on golf. I play golf twice a week. I mean, I watch the PGA Tour with the same amount of consumption of that product as I do the NBA, the NFL, and college football. Like, I'm sick. Like, I love golf. And never in my life have I seen a player rip his manufacturer for his poor performance. Like, you and I on a weekend, me, Bo Morgan, whoever it is, we hack it up and shoot a 96, and we want to throw our driver in the water because, well, we're weekend hacks. It's not the equipment's fault, usually. Now, if it's defective, whatever. But Bryson DeChambeau ripping Cobra, who he's got, I would imagine, if it's not a six-figure deal, it's a seven-figure deal. We'll play you the audio in a minute. And this really kind of set the world of golf upside down because this type of stuff never happens. And I'm not a golf purist by any stretch. I love the fact that DeChambeau and Koepka have this feud and they take jabs at each other and they've created this rivalry. I think it brings the fringe fan into the sport. Some of the older generations says, well, that's not the way golf is. Well, that's the reason why golf was dying before the pandemic and before Koepka and DeChambeau started their feud. You got to modernize your sport. I think this is great for the game. But let's take a listen. Now, I'll just set it up. You're going to hear DeChambeau in a second. But he had a rough day with the driver. I think out of 14 fairways, he only hit three or four. I think he hit about 29% of his fairways in one round at the British Open. And here was DeChambeau addressing it at the media.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me. And we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits. And, you know, I'm living on the razor's edge like I've told people for a long time. And, you know, when I did get it outside of the fairway, like in the first cut and whatnot, I catch jumpers out of there and I couldn't control my wedges. So it's quite finicky for me because it's a golf course that's pretty short. And so when I hit driver up there and it doesn't necessarily go in the fairway, it's right in the first cut or whatever, or it's in the hay, it's tough for me to get it out onto the green and control that. But when it's in the middle of the fairway, like I had it on 18, I was able to hit a nice shot in there to 11 feet and almost made birdie.
I mean, that is one of the weakest, most unprofessional things you can do in golf. You're blaming it on your driver. My driver sucks. The face is messed up. We've been trying to tinker with it. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's a jaw-dropping statement from a guy of his caliber ripping the company that pays him probably millions of dollars to promote their product. Cobra is, you know, it's not like Titleist or TaylorMade or Callaway, but it's one of the four or five biggest brands and manufacturers of equipment out there. And they've got Ricky Fowler and they've got Bryson DeChambeau as two of their main players that use their product and endorse it. And he comes out there and crushes the company, not him. He crushes the company for bad product. And, well, we've been tinkering with it, and this has been ongoing for 5 or 6 years, to the point where Cobra, as soon as he does that, comes out and releases a statement, and I'm paraphrasing, but they were not happy, saying that he's acting like a young child who didn't get his way, who was throwing a temper tantrum. To the point then where clearly DeChambeau's agent or somebody in his camp is like, dude, you need to walk that back. I mean, they're paying you $2 million or whatever it is. You can't do that. I mean, that's like Mike Bell coming on Dukes and Bell and crushing the people that make Hey Man Ale because they haven't put out a third flavor. And it's just bad business. You don't do that. Not when somebody's investing in you. So he was not happy. The company was not happy. Then DeChambeau has to walk it back and say, I got to keep working on my emotions and all this other stuff. Well, his buddy, his rival, Brooks Koepka, after a good round where his driver was working just perfectly, stopped by with Todd Lewis on the Golf Channel and took a little jab at Bryson.
Drove the ball great. Love my driver. Everything's going really well. You know, I felt like my pace was pretty solid. I just needed to hit some putts harder, and that's what I did today.
Yep, love my driver. Driver did well. I drove it really well. And you could see, if you saw the interview, Koepka was like kind of grinning because he just wanted to stick the needle right into DeChambeau and twist it a little bit. And that's the rivalry that they have. And a lot of people don't like it, but I, for one, relish it. And I'm not one of these DeChambeau haters, although I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to think he's a major D-bag. And it doesn't mean he's a bad person. He's just got a lot of D-bag tendencies to him, one of which is crushing your, like, you don't crush your manufacturer for that. And if you don't know, like, the story on DeChambeau, you know, he's been golfing for about 5 or 6 years, right? And he won early on, and then about a year before the pandemic, he had this transformation where he said, I'm going to defy physics. He put on a bunch of muscle, a bunch of weight, started, like, consuming 7 protein shakes a day, and he's like a scientist. Like, he legitimately looks at the data and the metrics and all these, and he's tinkering with his equipment, and he's literally trying to be like a world long drive champion. He wants to hit the ball as far as humanly possible with his body, with his equipment, everything. And it worked for him. He won the U.S. Open last year in 2020. And he's really taken the game by storm, where it's pretty much bomb and gouge. Hit the driver as far as you can, and then figure it out from there. The closer you are to the hole, the better. But there's like some idiosyncrasies with this guy. All of his clubs are the same length. Like, every club in his bag, iron through wedge, is the same length as his 6-iron. If anybody listening that plays golf, you know your wedges are shorter. Like, your pitching wedge is shorter than your 9-iron, your 8-iron, your 7-iron. They get longer physically as you go up through the bag. But all of his clubs are the length of a 6-iron. He's psychotic. I mean, I love the fact that he wants to do things in a non-traditional way. He desperately wants to win. I love his passion. I wish some golfers that are well off that won 2 majors and then don't seem like they care anymore, I wish they had his passion. But you can't rip your manufacturer. And then, oh, by the way, you know, most of us use a driver. It's anywhere from like 9 to 10.5 degrees. His driver is 5 degrees. So basically, his margin for error on that club, because he swings so violently and wants to hit the ball so far, is razor thin. But he's going to blame it on his manufacturer, which is something nobody ever does. It's just incredibly, incredibly weak. So I'm all Team Koepka. This is another thing the PGA Tour needs to do. Instead of us waiting for it to happen organically, where Koepka and DeChambeau get paired together on the weekend in a final pairing, you need to pair these guys together at the next tournament that they're a part of so that we can see them paired together on a Thursday and a Friday. That would be great drama. I don't know if they'll do it because, let's face it, unless it's a major, most people don't watch golf on a Thursday or Friday. I do, because I'm a loser and I have no life and I love golf, but a majority of people would probably not even see it. But Bryson DeChambeau saying your driver sucks, bro, that is incredibly, incredibly weak. That would be like Trey Young ripping Nike or Adidas, saying, well, I had a bad day because my shoes stunk. Like, really? That's where you're going? My Under Armour, Steph Curry, my Under Armour sneakers suck. That's why I was 5 for 22. Really? Come on, man. Bryson DeChambeau, coming off like a petulant 7-year-old. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. All right, 404-741-0929 if you want to jump in. 404-741-0929. We'll come back. We have about 8 or 9 minutes on the other side. We'll hit on NBA Finals game number 5 tonight and a few other things as well before we get out of here. Nick Cale Show, back after this, Sports Radio 92.9 again.
You're listening to the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, final 9 minutes here on a Saturday. Five Stripes pre-match coverage with Mike Conti coming up in just about 9 minutes' time. So stay there. We'll touch on Atlanta United Game 5, Max Fried and the Braves, the Open, and the WWE all in rapid-fire fashion in the next minute or two. But let's get a call in here at 404-741-0929. Chris is in Atlanta, and he disagrees with my Bryson and Brooks conversation. Chris, what's going on, man? What do you got?
Hey, man. So I want to disagree. You said that you said yourself he's like a scientist of the game. So if anyone would have a, you know, like a, I guess a bone to pick with a piece of equipment, it would be him. And we don't know if maybe he talked to the manufacturers of Cobra and asked for, you know, a different type of glove. But it's one of those things where, yes, they're paying him money, but he should still have a voice if that is it. That could just be a cop-out. But if it's a bad piece of equipment, I mean, he should have every right to say so, in my opinion. He's the one, I guess, bringing millions to the actual brand, even though they are paying him.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, he definitely can voice his opinion. I don't know, and I appreciate the call, Chris. I don't know that you do that publicly, and I don't know that you do it the way you did by saying that the driver sucks. And yeah, he's labeled the scientist, and this is what I think works against him, is he tries to calculate everything from all those launch monitors that he uses on the range, and then he gets out there with his caddy on the course, and he factors in the wind, and it's like, well, dude, you try to like eliminate all these variables and make it like a foul-proof system. That's not golf. Sometimes you just don't have a good swing. Sometimes you don't even know why your swing is off until you go back and you watch it and you get on the range and somebody videotapes your swing and you make an adjustment with your wrist or the way you grip the club. I mean, because you're spraying it all over the lot, then you're just going to blame the manufacturer. I mean, that comes off incredibly weak. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into why a golf swing all of a sudden is counterproductive. Now, I mean, if the equipment was broken, but he clearly didn't say the equipment was broken. He's been saying, well, this has been an ongoing issue with us and, you know, all their research developers. And I mean, they have all these physics people and how they compress all the energy into the club head and all that other stuff. But DeChambeau comes off just so weak that way. And he's got a history of this. Last year on the Florida swing, when they were in Florida at either Bay Hill or at Jack's place, the Honda, he was complaining because he hit a bad shot out of the sand trap. And he automatically looks down at the sand and he's like, oh, this is a PGA Tour bunker. Like, dude, it's always something else. It's never the user error. It's the equipment. Well, the sand wasn't good enough. And this comes on the heels of him being called out recently for when he hits an errant tee shot, he doesn't yell four. Like, I mean, that's golf 101. You and I know that. We hook our tee shot left or we slice one right on a weekend at a local municipal track. We yell four so that anybody in another fairway doesn't get plunked in the head or at least has a heads up that a ball's incoming. DeChambeau. Oh, my God. That guy drives me nuts. I am all Brooks Koepka now. A couple of things before we get out of here. First of all, the five stripes. This is pretty ugly between Gabriel Heinze and Joseph Martinez. And I thought Mike Bell encapsulated it perfectly with this tweet, where he says, quote, multiple sources have revealed to The Athletic that Joseph Martinez has told the Five Stripes front office that this season will be his last in Atlanta. Management better squash this beef between him and Heinze pronto. Totally agree. Your new manager, new coach, with your star player training alone, and then Gabriel Heinze saying, quote, it's my choice. He'll continue to train on his own. I have my reasons, and I'm very clear on those reasons. I mean, this is a team already without Bello, without Barco, without Brad Guzan, Jurgen Dam. And you're playing a good New England team. The Revolution are good, and I think it's been, what, five or six matches where it's either been loss or draw? I mean, we're due for a win, no doubt. NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. Series deadlocked, two games apiece. They're back in Phoenix. I got to tell you, I said when the series started that I thought the home team would hold serve every game, and so far that's the way it's played out. Now, I get it. Crowds are back. Home court matters. It's difficult. But does anybody have the mental toughness to win a game on the road? Or do we just chalk everything up to, well, we're on the road, might as well take a loss? You know, this is one of those nights, too. And we mentioned about Mario Chalmers in the Saturday social about the criticism he got. I'm starting to think this. It is becoming low-hanging fruit and too easy to rip Chris Middleton. Like, Chris Middleton is a very good player. Chris Middleton's an all-star. He's not a star. So I hear this, well, are we going to get good Middleton or are we getting bad Middleton? Like, that would be applicable if he was a star and the expectation was he's 30 points a game and he's an MVP caliber player. Chris Middleton's the second best player on the team. So I don't understand this critique of Chris Middleton like he is supposed to, you know, be a member of the dream team every time he steps on the floor. He's a good player. He can get you 22, 23 a night. But when he gets to a 16 and he's 5 for 19 shooting, I mean, people lose their minds. I don't get that. I like the Suns tonight. And how about Devin Booker? I mean, we love Trey and how great he is. But have you guys watched Devin Booker? How did this guy only average 10 points a game at Kentucky? That guy is unreal. I mean, he's instant buckets every time he touches the ball. I know that Kentucky team at Calipari had five or six guys get drafted. But I'm sitting there thinking, because I saw Calipari in the stands for game four, I'm like, this guy only averaged 10 points a game at Kentucky? I mean, he has really, really become a star. I mean, he feels like he's a lock for 40 on any given night. So looking forward to that. Braves and Max Fried tonight. Got to get this one. Blue last night. If you have any hope, and we talked about this in hour number one, the reality is the Braves are on their last stand. You've got Tampa Bay, San Diego, New York, and Philly. By the time we get to July 29th, when those four series come to a close, if we don't have a winning record in those games, this season's over. You can forget August. You know, if we go 5-8 in these four series, it's over. Big time spot for Max Fried tonight. Needs to pitch like a number one. Prediction tomorrow for the Open before we get out of here. 54 holes in the books. Louis Oosthuizen at 12 under, Morikawa at 11, Spieth at 9. Spieth bogeyed 17 and 18 today to drop two shots off. I think Louis gets it done tomorrow. So I'm going to take Oosthuizen, the favorite, 11 years removed from his last major. He's been so close so many times over the last 5 or 6 years. I think he will get it done. And then finally, WWE Wrestling, back to live crowds last night in Houston. Pay-per-view tomorrow night. I know John Chuckery is as giddy as a 7-year-old kid. I am as well. It's awesome to see fans back. So that should be entertaining as well. All right, that's going to do it for us. Our thanks to Dylan Matthews and of course, Jerome Jurenovich from Bally Sports for talking Braves with us in hour number one. Have a great rest of your Saturday. I'll talk to you again next week. Five Stripes pre-match coverage coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.